It's time now for KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30, bringing you interviews and information regarding local nonprofit events and city and county services from Aspen to Rifle. KMTS Connections connects you to everything that matters in the Roaring Fork Valley and beyond. Once again, it's Gabe from the KMTS Morning Show, kind of a full house today, talking about the number of people in the studio, not the my gambling abilities. Corey Hicks from the USDA Farm Service Agency is here today. Nicholas Crick from the Southside Conservation District, and Peter Dodd also from Southside Conservation District in the studio. And then we've got Brackett Pollard. He's the president of the Holy Cross Cattlemen's Association. So, Mr. President, Your Holiness, I don't know, how do you prefer to be referred to, Brackett?
You can call me Brackett.
All right. That works. To start out, to kind of continue the conversation with Brackett, Holy Cross Cattlemen's Association is a local organization. Tell me about the membership and why it's important to folks in this area.
Okay, well, thanks. We have about 250 members, and a good majority of them are producer members, but they're not necessarily all producer members. We serve as a grassroots organization that is an affiliate of the Colorado Cattlemen's Association, and we represent cattlemen and landowner interest here in, you could basically call it all the way from Aspen to Dubuque.
How long have you been involved? I'm assuming you haven't been president from the beginning.
No, I've been involved for 6 years now, and I am the incoming president starting this current year.
A number of programs are available to help agricultural producers or farmers, if you will, in times of emergency as well as on an ongoing basis. So I guess, why don't you introduce us to Corey Hicks from the Farm Service Agency? I'm guessing you probably work with him as a landowner on a regular basis.
I do, and Mr. Hicks would have a lot of really good information for people who are interested in resources that could help them either advance their farming operations or perhaps begin an agricultural operation.
And again, it's the Holy Cross Cattlemen's Association, but just because you've got cattle doesn't mean that you're excluding everything else, like growing corn or hay. Of course, most people that have cows, I guess, would probably grow, you know, something that they could feed the cows with, as opposed to having to buy it from somebody else. So, Corey, I'm sure that we could probably spend at least 30 minutes talking about all the services that are available and the programs through the FSA, all the way from insurance to emergency assistance. This kind of was in the forefront back in 2013 when they had all the flooding on the Front Range and the Poudre River and all of that. Farm Service Agency and the conservation districts were very active during that time for those folks over there. Thankfully, we haven't needed any kind of emergency assistance to that degree, but you do have programs that are available from time to time that would fall under the emergency category.
We do. We have a lot of programs. Just most recently, we dealt with a drought loss program, and that was specifically for livestock producers. It's called the Livestock Forage Program, and because the drought was so severe in 2018, the U.S. Drought Monitor actually makes this eligible. It's an eligibility factor that we look at, and then livestock producers are able to come in and sign up for that program. That's still an ongoing program with the recent passage of the Farm Bill. We're going to have that program going forward as well. We also have what we call emergency conservation programs, and we've dealt with that quite a bit in this area. More localized, like flooding concerns or hillside ditches might give way, or, you know, we've actually had some really localized flooding, but we're able to help producers maybe repair some of those conservation structures, such as ditches and head gates, and under our ECP program. In conjunction with the drought last year, we had a program for hauling water to livestock. traditional water sources weren't there, and so producers were having to, and that's quite an expense for producers to do.
Well, that's particularly important to Nick and Peter, who live in an area that's pretty dry already, right?
We do live in a dry area, so we're always on the cusp anyway, but when ponds tend to dry up, it's a real quite a fiscal undertaking for producers to have to haul water. And so we have a program, once again, that might help with that. We have quite a few disaster programs, stuff for just not as much in this area, but with the recent blizzards out on the eastern slope.
Oh.
We have a livestock indemnity program for the livestock death losses. We have some other situations where maybe a fire might occur and producers have to buy feed to supplement because they lost their traditional grass resources. That's under our ELAP program. And so we have a few programs. The one thing I would caution, or not caution, but encourage folks to do would be the most important thing for us is just to come into our office and just establish farm records with us. And that's nothing to participate or anything, but that gets people in the loop as to what programs we might have available. Most of our newsletters go out now, or our information goes out via email. And when we get a program like LFP, when the drought monitor makes us eligible, we send that out, and folks hopefully will be known about it, and they can come in if they wish to. Every one of our programs are voluntary. If folks wish to participate, they can. And also in line with what Brackett was saying, we have some – there's two sides to FSA. There's our program side, which is what I administer, and then we also have our farm loan side, which provides lending to agricultural producers. And the biggest thing about our lending is we don't compete with private lenders. We can't. We tend to lend to in situations where it's hard for those people to obtain private financing or traditional financing.
So maybe similar to the Small Business Association or administration for small businesses.
In some ways, yes, but it's definitely for agricultural producers only.
Right.
And we have specific targeted funding for situations like beginning farmers. They actually specifically target funding and set that funding aside for those categories only. And then we have our regular lending for direct operating loans, direct farm ownership loans, and then we have what we call guaranteed loans, where private lending institutions work with USDA or FSA, and they work together to make loans. So that's a big program for us as well.
So if anyone is listening right now and would like to call and talk about, you know, the options, what did you say, establishing a farm record so that they can get on that list and get that information, what is the best way to get a hold of someone at the Farm Service Agency locally?
Well, we have a local office. I manage the office both in Grand Junction and the one here. And we have Rose Hurley is our program technician in the office here. I would recommend folks just either call and make an appointment to come in. And that way we'll, and that number is 970-945-5494. And all we do is we sit down with them, we find out what land they're farming or leasing, and we establish a farm record for them. Then they're kind of in the database to be informed of some of our programs.
What are the requirements? What is requisite to be able to get on that list?
Nothing at all. As a matter of fact, provide us an email address and we'll put you on the list.
Okay. So, I mean, even somebody that may consider themselves to be living in town... Mm-hmm. Or, okay.
They can actually subscribe. We have a subscription center where you can actually subscribe to get all the bulletins that we might put out locally, or our state newsletter, our county bulletins that we send out. These are all email. A person can sign up for all kinds of things through our subscription. And it's just through the computer.
And again, not all programs may apply or absolutely be available, but at least anybody can get on the list.
Absolutely.
All right. 945-5494 is the phone number, and the office is out in West Glenwood, right behind the mall. Would that be the north of the mall? I get turned around when the interstate starts making too many turns
Northwest.
And curves.
Yep.
I'll take your word for it. Well, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and chat a little bit more with everybody in just a minute. You're listening to KMTS Connections. Welcome back to KMTS Connections. Again, this afternoon, we're visiting with Nick Crick, Peter Dodd, Brackett Pollard, Corey Hicks. So Nick, Pete, and Brackett all are kind of consumers, if you will. Then Corey works for the Farm Service Agency and kind of helps them out with different programs we're talking about here. Again, anybody can stop by and sign up to, what did you say, establish a farm record at the Farm Service Agency. You just give Rose a call at 945-5494, and she'll be happy to help you out. One of the interesting things about the I'm not even sure if there's another name for the office out in West Glenwood. It's kind of like the federal building, if we had such a thing locally. In addition to the Farm Service Agency, all the conservation districts and their staffs are also centered there. So when you guys have questions, I guess, Brackett, it's been a while since I picked on you. If you have a question and you're asking about maybe some program or some help, assistance that might be available, if it's not available with whatever agency you start with, the person you're looking for sometimes is just right around the corner in a different part of the office.
Right. You know, I actually have the Grand Junction office and the Glenwood office on speed dial. So it ain't hard for me to find somebody to answer a question. And I'll tell you, they have a lot of really good programs that people can use.
And again, it's not just for producers, it's for folks that are growing things as well. I would consider a producer as somebody that's raising cows. I don't know if that's a term that's common or not. It also sounds to me like the three of you are fairly new to this whole farming and ranching business. I mean, Pete, I know your dad did it for years, so you probably grew up with it. But as far as yourselves doing this, is that more or less accurate?
Absolutely. Making decisions, you know, as you grow older. I think the average age of a rancher is 58 or 68 or something like that. So anyone who's younger than that, I would consider a young rancher.
I'm liking these odds.
And it's a huge learning curve to take over and to establish, you know, what you want to do. You know, a lot of people just, you know, do what Grandpa did. That's what Grandpa did. And if you do that, you probably go out of business. So you have to make changes and you have to evolve.
Is there even a market for sugar beets anymore?
Not on this side of the
state.
I
wouldn't think so. So much for that. So much for that. Yeah. Nick, what about you? Kind of the same kind of experience?
Yeah, absolutely. I actually married into it, so I have a little bit different perspective there. And actually, I feel quite fortunate that I've been brought onto a successful operation that is essentially first generation. So my wife's family built it from the ground up here on the Western Slope, and we're the next generation coming in. But there are absolutely challenges.
How long have you been married? How long have you been involved in this?
Now we're getting personal.
That's what I do, man, you know? It's like the local version of Oprah.
Spill it.
How long have you been involved in the family business? So about 8 years.
Well, 5 years in the family business. Okay. Coming on 5 years. Yep.
Okay. So obviously the last 5 years, there have been some good moments and maybe some not so great moments in terms of weather and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. What's the biggest challenge that, say, Farm Service Agency or the Conservation Districts has helped out with?
For me, it's been the livestock forage with these two droughts I've gone through since I've started coming back to the ranch.
Mm. And we just turn them out on the field and there's enough for them to eat. You have to bring in extra food?
Absolutely. I mean, we've had to buy $20,000, $30,000 worth of food material brought in just to sustain us through the year. And we've gotten very small payments to help us with that, but they definitely help us get us through the year.
That's a lot of money. I mean, I had three teenagers, and I don't think that we spent that much.
You know, it's the cattle market's like a 10-year cycle, and you usually get – so the last one was like 2015, 2016, or somewhere around there, 2014, 15. And so you make your money there, and you save it, and then the drought comes, and you spend it. And so you really don't retain much money.
Right. And it's interesting, too, to hear that the three of you talk about – changes, and you can't just do what Grandpa did anymore.
Right.
In my case, it would be sugar beets. I'm sure everybody else would have maybe a little bit different experience. So I guess just like any business, things are always changing in the agribusiness community as well. And you have to try and find a way to work around that. Mm-hmm. In order to continue to be sustainable.
When my grandfather bought land in Divide Creek area, we researched the information back there, and I think they started growing potatoes when the people first moved in there, and they bought 40 acres. And then it was sheep, And then they started raising yearlings on that, and now we're cow-calf producers. And so it's evolving. The land's evolving itself.
What kind of crops do you grow, Nick?
So we're cow-calf producers as well, and okay. we grow hay and occasional other kind of forage crop.
Do you have enough land that you can actually sell hay to Pete when he needs some, or is it all just to sustain your herd,
yeah, if you will? And as similar to Pete, we've had to bring in outside feed sources the past few years because it's been kind of tough. And we've made a lot of changes to our operation recently and trying to let the dust settle and figure out where we're...
No pun intended, right?
Yeah, exactly. Where we're going to be in the next, you know... Next year, 5 years, 10 years.
Did you have did you go to school for business or anything like that, or was this whole farming and ranching thing, was it completely different for you when you got into it?
Well, I do have a business background, but not ag business. And
I imagine it's probably a little bit different than normal.
Yeah, you know,
going to the office every day. Because the office is always there.
Yeah.
And there's always something that needs to be done, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Brackett, what about you? What about your family's, what do you raise?
Yeah, we raise cows and calves, and we run some yearlings from time to time if the pasture conditions permit that. And we also grow hay both for our own cattle and to sell.
So that probably makes it a little bit unique for you, and you're probably pretty lucky that you have another source of income that's readily available.
Right. Well, so most of our land is leased, mm-hmm. and so it certainly does provide a another source of income, but it's maybe less stable than if it were owned land.
Well, and you don't have the equity either when it comes time to get one of those loans that we were talking about with Corey either, I imagine.
Right. Well, there's some of Corey's loans, which he could probably talk about, where you don't need a whole lot of equity.
Those would be like those guarantee-type loans and that kind of thing that you were talking about earlier, right, Corey?
Yeah. A lot of our lending, we tend to deal with folks that may not have all that equity to begin with, especially our beginning farmers. The whole goal is to build equity. And so the reason we might be doing loans with them is because they can't get traditional lending. And we have some programs that are targeted for beginning farmers and regular farmers also, not just beginning farmers, that might not be able to obtain the normal chain of financing through private lending. That's when they might want to visit with the FSA office and see if that would work in their situation. We do have targeted funds, like I said, for beginning farmers. We also have what we call socially disadvantaged. By that, we mean historically underrepresented groups, such as women, minorities. They have targeted funding for that as well.
Corey, don't you also serve veterans?
Yes. They have targeted funding for veterans as well.
Okay.
And they also have some we have some requirements for the beginning farmer. And sometimes you have to show some ag experience. You know, you have to be able – you may have worked on a farm. You may have grew up on one, things like that.
Would riding the tractor next to Grandpa while he was baling hay, would that qualify?
That could go towards some of the experience that's required. It's more than 3 but less than 10 years on the beginning farmer side. Okay. But you can use some of that type of experience to meet that 3 years. But veterans, like Brackett said, also qualifies for at least 1 year of that. So they are trying to target veterans as well who are interested in agriculture and have specific fundings for that. So,
okay. Thank you for mentioning that, Brackett. I don't think I ever knew that there were specific veterans programs through the Farm Service Agency.
Yeah.
It's a program that I used when I got out of the service, and I remember it being very helpful as a veteran to get started.
Thank you for mentioning that as well. I may pick on you about that a little bit later on also. Again, if you'd like to learn more about Farm Service Agency programs that may be available to you under the Department of Agriculture, you can call 945-5494. Also, a couple save-the-date notes. The annual Conservation District's picnic is Thursday, May 16th. And so this is Book Cliff, Mount Soperus, and Southside Conservation Districts. They get together once a year and have a big picnic this year. It's going to be in, speaking of veterans, it's going to be in Veterans Park in Silt this year on May 16th. And then a couple days later on Saturday, May 18th, is a Healthy Lands open house, which is going to be, I'm not that fast a reader. The Silt Preserve.
Correct.
Which is
on the south side of the river.
Okay, on the south side of the river. Is
along
that
the frontage
between
road.
The two? Okay. Mm-hmm. And again, for those, you can get more information by calling the Conservation District phone number. Again, same building, different phone number. That's 404-3439. Back in just a minute to wrap things up. You're listening to KMTS Connections.
Okay.
Welcome back to KMTS Connections. Again, this afternoon we're talking with His Highness Brackett Pollard, the president of the Holy Cross Cattlemen's Association. Sorry, I was looking for another term to throw out there. Pete Dodd is on the Southside Conservation District. Nick Crick is also on the Southside Conservation District, or lives in that area, works farms. All three of those guys are considered young farmers through the Farm Service Agency. Corey Hicks, imagine you talk with these three guys quite often.
I have.
And by the way, one thing that we did, just to clarify earlier, all of the farm loan programs through Farm Service Agency are actually administered through the Mesa County office?
That's correct. Okay. That number is 970-242-4511. They handle the whole area here for farm loan.
Okay. Just a different, a larger office, I guess you might say.
Correct.
for the loan type stuff. Something interesting that you mentioned during one of the breaks earlier that I think bears mentioning, you hear, well, the federal government is here to help you. And sometimes that's the case, sometimes maybe not so much. But Corey, in your case, even though Farm Service Agency obviously is a federal government organization and you administer programs, mm-hmm. they're actually local elected individuals that control all of that.
Correct. All Farm Service Agency offices, the authority with our programs actually rests with is our local county committee. We have elections every year. We break our counties up or our areas into one or two or three or four or five member boards, and every year we have elections and members serve for a three-year term, and they are locally elected farmers and ranchers who have the authority and administer the federal farm programs through the Farm Service Agency.
Pete, your dad actually was on one of those boards. That's actually kind of how he learned about a lot of these Farm Service Agency programs, right?
Yeah, before that we didn't have much interaction with the FSA, and then when we got asked by Nick Crick's father-in-law to serve on it, he learned a lot about the programs, and we're still learning a lot about the programs and how to qualify and what they can do to serve us better and aid us in continuing ranching.
When you just get up every morning and go to work and then you go back home and go to bed, it's easy to ignore your neighbors. When you do what the three of you guys do, it's a little bit harder to ignore your neighbors because you may need to depend on that neighbor for advice or help if, you know, something happens that, out of the ordinary. So it sounds like, you know, the old-fashioned idea of, you know, neighbors helping neighbors, as cliche as it sounds like that really rings true with the three of you.
You know, I'm constantly talking to some of my neighbors about programs in the FSA, even relatives of what they provide and how they can help us. And sometimes you get a lot of interest and sometimes you get, well, I don't want to be involved with the government. I don't want the government knowing what's going on my ranch,
sure,
on my property.
And that's fine.
You know, right.
Everybody makes their own decisions, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And Brackett, what about you? Do you find that, I don't know if you were in the military, obviously, so you haven't been a farmer forever. Well, none of you have, because that's the whole idea of
the
conversation.
I was born into it.
You didn't have
barn.
A choice.
I was born in a barn in a hay manger.
Did the barn have a loft?
It did.
So, Brackett, what is your experience in this? Was it just a predetermined notion that you were going to get involved in this, or is it something that you came back from the military and seemed to be a direction that you might be interested in going?
Well, I'll tell you, I did grow up with my father is also in the cattle business, and even my grandfather in Steamboat had a ranch. But when I left for the military, I had no real interest in going back to ranching, but I always enjoyed that lifestyle. And so one day I was interviewing with a bank in downtown Denver, and I was on a break from that interview, and I had this epiphany that it was a 75 degree day with all the sunshine, and I didn't want to be spending the rest of my life inside. And that's when I decided that I wanted to be a rancher.
And how long ago was that, out of curiosity?
About 8 years ago.
Any looking back since that time?
No.
There was a little bit of a hesitation there, but I appreciate that. You know, it doesn't
well,
you, get much...
I guess you could say my wife will question me.
Well, that's why you need those checks and balances in any relationship, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Again, a couple different opportunities for does anybody, any of you know about the Conservation District's annual picnic? Are just folks that are on the list
you
invited
know,
to this, or is this
anybody can come?
Okay.
You know, usually it's land producers who come, or people who interact with the Conservation District a lot.
Okay. So
come.
it's kind of you go and you see a lot of your neighbors there.
Right.
And, mm-hmm. and maybe some other folks in a similar situation that you don't see, but maybe once a year at the picnic, that kind of thing.
Okay. Yep.
Again, that's Thursday, May 16th at Veterans Park in Silt. And then on a couple days later, on Saturday, May 18th, is the Healthy Lands Open House from 11 to 1 at the Silt Preserve, again, on the south side of the Colorado River there, right along, which road is that? Is that still 335?
I'm not sure.
Anyway.
I think it's 331.
Okay. So that would 331 is actually Dry Hollow, isn't it?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not familiar with the Healthy Lands Open House. I'm not sure we've talked about that in the past. Anyone of the four of you have any more information about that?
You know, it's try to get people more conscious of noxious weeds and how to control them in your soil health and how to maybe improve your soil health and just things of that nature.
So be more efficient in any way you can.
Correct.
Right? That's a game I would imagine you guys know quite a bit about.
You try to be.
Yes.
Right, yeah. And again, that event happens on Saturday, May 18th, the Healthy Lands Open House. The annual Conservation District's picnic is on Thursday, May 16th. Again, if you'd like to register or more information for either one of those, you can call the Conservation District phone number at 404-3439. And Farm Service Agency in Glenwood, their phone number is 945-5494. Farm Service Agency Grand Junction, where they handle those farm loan programs, that's 242-4511. And again, if you remember any one of the numbers, they can get you to any one of
somebody
the other
else.
Offices if you need be. Considering it's the federal government, I'm amazed at how well actually these particular agencies work together to try and help out, you know, local farmers of any size.
Half the phone calls we get, it's usually forwarded on to either CSU, NRCS, yeah. or somebody else. But that's what we're also there for, is to help people get pointed in the right direction.
Yeah, let's not forget Extension, even though that's a state program, mm-hmm. really. They also are really helpful, particularly when, you know, we're talking about noxious weeds. You know, when you're having a hard time getting something to grow and you don't know why, they're the folks you call.
Yeah. And there is some cost sharing available for vegetation management through some of these programs.
That's right.
That help even small landowners, as well as larger farms and ranches.
I think Garfield County actually has some as well, and then it mm-hmm. goes all the way up to the state and federal level, depending on exactly what it is you're trying to get rid of.
Correct.
Or make grow. One kind of leads to the other, typically, usually. Again, thanks again for being here, gentlemen.
Thank you.
I always, my goal is to learn something each time I have these conversations. I feel like we satisfied that. Anything else anybody would like to mention, maybe speaking to other potential young farmers, somebody that would be interested in doing what you're doing now in 5 years? Any advice?
I met a person at a meeting in Loveland, and he lived in Denver, and he worked in in a cubicle inside, and he wasn't very excited about that, and so he wanted to get in urban farming, and I was really just enthralled with his desire to be involved in urban farming. So he bought a plat, or he leased a plot of land, and I think it was in Westminster or something like that. Mm. And he started growing chickens, and he started planting vegetables and doing that and selling it just locally. So I think there's a big passion for urban people just to be involved in that, whether it's through aquaculture or
aquaculture, which means
water based growing plants or growing lettuce and stuff like that in water without soil.
Just wondering how Grandpa would react to the term urban farming.
Yeah. Well, there is a big trend that's happening, and I think a lot of people are wanting to become more connected with where their food comes from.
Mm, absolutely.
And a desire, as Pete described, to get involved in agriculture even at that small level. So it makes me excited for the future because there's a lot of opportunities here, but that's also challenging on multi-generational operations where us as the new farmer doesn't have a lot to bring to the table. But with Corey's programs, we can have some more skin in the game, if you will.
And at this meeting, this guy that, turned into an urban farmer, he had no idea what a conservation district was and how they proceeded. But then after about a couple of years of stumbling through this, he discovered them, and they provided him with a lot of support of how to go about doing this, how to be more successful. And he's expanded and he's hired people, and it's neat to see because it connects us rural with the urban. We have something more to talk about with them, and it's a neat thing to discuss.
More things in common than might be,
right,
than meets the eye.
Than just being on the roadway.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and the other thing is that sometimes I think that agriculture gets somewhat of a bad rap, that it's difficult or that it's almost impossible to get started, or that it's a lifestyle and not a business. And I think that anybody who has given into that notion should think about changing, and that there are opportunities to make it a business. It doesn't matter what business you're getting started in. It's going to be difficult at first, but it is a very viable business that you can grow and scale up. I mean, I think that sometimes it gets pushed off as a lifestyle, and that people just want to live that lifestyle, but it's also a very good business to be in.
And it's a rewarding experience, too, that, at the end of the year, you sell your animals or your crop, and you get to see your yield, what you produce that year. Where if you're in a big company, in an urban landscape, maybe you don't feel appreciated, but you can definitely feel, you've gathered something and you've gained something from doing that.
It's kind of like anything you do with your hands, you realize the whole process from start to finish, mm-hmm. and you actually get to see the end result. The end result may be a few dollars, hopefully more than you spent throughout the year, right?
Ideally.
Right, exactly. That's what we hope for. But even beyond that, you get to see, that cow grow to maturity and sold to somebody to be used for food or the hay or whatever the case may be. All right. Well, thanks again, gentlemen. Do appreciate it. And
we'll look forward to maybe another conversation
about this again in the future. Again, if you have any questions about the Farm Service Agency programs that may be available, as Corey mentioned, get on the establish a farm record, which basically just means giving your email address, it sounds like.
As little as that, yes.
And then you can learn about these programs as they become available, what may be available to you. And maybe somebody is listening right now that's, you know, in a similar situation to any of you. You know, maybe looking for a change. Maybe they grew up in agriculture on a farm, and it's time for them to make that change and actually go back to their roots. Maybe, you know, looking for something meaningful to do after the military. After serving in the military, I don't imagine anything that would really be as rewarding as that or as meaningful, certainly, but... it sounds like Brackett's been doing okay with it. By the way, thank you for your service. Before I forget.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And again, phone number at Farm Service Agency is 945-5494. And if your question does not necessarily pertain to them, they know how to transfer. Thanks again. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Talk to you guys soon. You've been listening to KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30. It's another reason we are the most listened to radio station from Rifle to Aspen.